Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Monday evening edition of The Yard. It's been a long day, been a long couple days for me. You know, it's I'm in my 50s, you know, and there are certain, medical procedures at times you got to go through when you get to middle age because you want to sustain life. So I had that one today, you know, the one you got to get when you're 50. A little bit late getting it, but good results. And but yeah, it's a little tough coming back from that anesthesia. At least it is for me. But a lot of good stuff happening with Mississippi State. But I thought about pushing the show back to tomorrow. But I thought, you know, I'm feeling okay. And if we get to a point that I start feeling a little bit groggy again, we can always stop. But we're not going to. We're going to push through. Got us a bottle of Gatorade here, and we'll get things rolling. So I appreciate you guys so much, too. And before we get into the show, too, let you know, we got an announcement. Reed's Gumtree Books in Tupelo now has signed copies of The Dude. So you Tupelo folks that have been asking for that, you'll be able to go by and get that. I'm sure at some point we'll do a signing. And to be honest with you, I never really know week to week what I'm doing until like early in the week. And the one thing I do know, and we'll give this to you real quickly here so we can kind of move on. I know many of you will be in town this weekend. As well, you should be. Mississippi State's playing its final home football game of the year. And we only get, you know, a half dozen or so of these to deal with, every year. We look forward to it, and it's over before you know it. But this Saturday, I will be at Barnes & Noble on campus from 12 to like 1:30-ish. You know, ball game starts at 3:15, so probably around 2. But as long as you guys are hanging out, I'll hang out too. So Barnes & Noble on game day this Saturday on campus. And I think I've only done one signing there. And that was like a Tuesday afternoon before a basketball game in like February or maybe even earlier than that. And it was like 20 degrees outside. So first football game day signing at the Barnes & Noble on campus. So look forward to that. Hope you guys come out and say hello. And we'll be adding some more dates. I'll be back in Lemuria a couple times before Christmas. So if you missed us Saturday, I'll be back. Definitely be back. Book's doing great, and thank you guys so much. I've had a lot of nice reviews. I've had some people tell me, you know, Steve, it's not a quick read like some of your other books. Well, it's a lot more detail in this one. But, yeah, I still believe it's the best thing that I've written, and we're already kind of beginning to get into planning stages of the next one, you know, and we'll make some announcements on those as we get a little closer. But a lot of irons in the fire, you know, to say the least. But I keep kicking something down there. My apologies. Probably a dog knocked something down here. But there we go. Let me get this out of the way. But all that I understood, appreciate you guys so much. And you guys that come out to book signings, you're so incredibly kind. I like to make myself as available as I can be, as my schedule permits. And again, I know we got a lot of big things coming up. You know, in the month of December, as we get closer to Christmas, between now and that week of Christmas, we're going to be really, 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 really busy. This Sunday, too, if you're in town, too, on Sunday, I'll be down at Book Martin Cafe. I usually do that, you know, Sundays after home games because you guys are in town. And plus, it's a little more conversational, you know, not quite as busy on Sundays. But, yeah, I think about this stuff all the time. Like every time that, you know, I get messages from time to time. Like many of you, but I'll get these unsolicited messages from people all over the country, and not just Mississippi State people, but you know, people will message me because they got the book of poetry somehow, or they got When the Bottom Falls, and they're like, "Hey, I just wanted to reach out to you and tell you how much I enjoyed this," and you know, that doesn't cost those people anything other than maybe a minute or two, but it means everything to me. It really, really does. And it's fuel for the journey, man. It is. But I appreciate your support so incredibly much. And, you know, it's one of those things, too. You know, I'm getting older, you know. I don't know how much time I have left, but I am secure in the fact that I have less life ahead of me than I have behind me. And so I'm trying to make the most of the time that I have left and do my best to leave a legacy, not just about Mississippi State, but for my family and my children. And it's one of those things that always kind of makes me, a little bit cognizant of things. I begin to think about, when I'm gone, if my children want to hear my voice, they can pull up a Boneyard podcast if they want to, talk about a lot of life lessons on the show. You know, they can go grab a book that their dad wrote I have no clue what I'll be able to leave to them financially, but I think about the things that I leave in them, right? I mean, when you think about the lessons you teach your children, I really believe that I have equipped my children for life and to live life more abundantly, not just to sustain life or just to exist, but to get out and go chase dreams. And my hope, and I wrote about this yesterday on Facebook, I was a little bit melancholy knowing I was going to have to go under the gas, but I wrote about that. You know, when I began to chase this dream years ago, at first I wanted to be a rock star and that simmered to drug rehab. This is a lot safer. But I chased a dream I couldn't see. You know, I grew up in small town Mississippi, a town of what, 6,500 people. And we didn't have the internet. You know, I'm from the 1900s, and we didn't have the internet. We had four channels. We had the ABC, NBC, CBS, and then like the Mississippi Public Broadcast System. That's what we grew up with until we got cable. And then we got MTV, and life changed. All of a sudden, we had to get acid wash jeans and things like that. And we were cognizant of fashion that was kind of foreign to us. But not only did we have limited opportunities, but it just felt anything that, it just felt so far-fetched. It's like, hey, one day you want to write books? Yeah, good luck. You want to be able to broadcast your vision to the world? Yeah, it's not going to happen. And so I think maybe the biggest thing that I hope that I can maybe leave to you all and leave to the next generation of dreamers is that maybe in some way, I've made the dream more visible, that it looks a little more attainable than it did to some teenager, growing up in South Mississippi that, saw these great things and thinking, man, I got to move to California if I want to ever do anything substantial in my life. That's how I felt. I felt like I needed to get out of Mississippi, and I did leave Mississippi, and ultimately I came home, and it is home. Came home and was able to kind of carve out a niche for myself doing what I love, and thankfully, some of you love it too. Hey, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company. And now that I can eat again, I think I'm going to get in there tomorrow and get some Bulldog Burger Company. I love Bulldog Burger Company. And like if I go like a week without eating Bulldog Burger Company, I kind of get off kilter and think, hey, I got to get in there and fix what ails me. And maybe that's the spring rolls. Yeah, I'll take a look in the mirror and it's like, hey, I'm looking a little peaked. I need some spring rolls. And so tomorrow, no matter what I order as an entree, I am having the spring rolls. I'll let the wife have one or two, maybe. She's a lot more beautiful than me, so I need all the help that I can get because, the spring rolls will make you better looking. In addition to that, too, I'm thinking the Pimentology add bacon. That's what I'm feeling. That or the smokehouse. It depends on what I feel like when I get up in the morning. It's the best thing about Bulldog Burger Company, though, is whatever I have a craving for, whatever I'm hankering for, they can cure that. They can scratch that itch. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas. Gloucester Street there in Tupelo. Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Get some dessert to go, maybe. That Shipley bread pudding will keep for you. And when you get up in the middle of the night and you start thinking, man, I kind of need that palate cleanser. I need something sweet. It'll be there waiting for you. And it won't just be, some store-bought snack. It's going to be a great restaurant-quality snack. Or maybe get that chocolate shake. Maybe drink half of it on the way home, put the other half up. Yeah, I'm not telling you how to live your life. I'm just telling you, you can live life and live life more abundantly with Bulldog Burger Company in your life. I love them. I do. I absolutely love Bulldog Burger Company. And I've been so privileged to be affiliated with them for so long. Because when I see them, I see excellence and I see quality. And there's some things that I was like, hey, I kind of aspire to that too. You know, I like going places that are well-run, well-maintained, well-managed, and the staff, everybody kind of knows what's going on, and you don't have that deer in the headlights look when you ask a question that's maybe a little bit out of the norm. They can get you taken care of. It's a professionally run organization from top to bottom. Go by and check them out today. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, we got a lot of wins to talk about, and we had a good weekend. So we're going to start with soccer, and excited about that. Also, I'm really excited, too, about the men's basketball game. But I felt like, you know what, we're in postseason in soccer, so let's talk a little bit about that. We'll spend some time talking about that first. Now, the game went about how we expected. I mean, we expected State to win rather convincingly. Perhaps it went a little bit better than we anticipated. Seven goals scored in the game. Bulldogs now 18-2 and in a perfect 11-0 at home. And a big part of that unblemished home record is all of you. 3,461. The largest first-round crowd in the history of the NCAA women's soccer tournament. Let that kind of ride around the palate a little bit there. The Bulldogs showing that we're serious about soccer. I even got people on the message board saying, "Hey, Steve, what do we need to do to upgrade facilities for soccer?" You know, I just don't know if, you know, we got to do some things, but you know, I think we need to have some. You know, we are having sustained success, but I think we've got to continue to have these crowds show up before we can kind of necessitate that. You know, I love soccer, but we got to be physically responsible. This house settlement thing kind of hanging over our heads. Now, if one of you guys want to step up. As I've mentioned before, the naming rights of the stadium have not been claimed. Maybe you can do that. Maybe you are thinking, you know what, I've always been looking for just the perfect thing. I'd love to have my dad's name or mom's name on a building or a facility. Maybe this is an opportunity for you. Maybe. And you can earmark some of that money for soccer. Maybe we can expand the bleachers. But I tell you, people love those berms, man. They do. And maybe it's just like a soccer thing, but I see so many people, man, they get out there and they put that quilt on the ground. They sit out there with their bag of snacks. They enjoy their Mississippi State soccer team. It's a cool vibe, man. It is. And so it's going to be a football crowd coming in this weekend. We need you to get here a little bit early because they're going to play at 6 o'clock. I thought we may take the early game just to give us a little more chance to recover, but you know what? We're not going to do that. We're going to play Washington. 6 p.m. Central. So again, if you're coming for the football game, this is a ticketed event. It's $10 for adults, $5 for children. So it's a very inexpensive ticket for a very memorable experience. And Bulldogs, again, if we continue to advance, we'll host all the way into the College Cup. Rounds 2 and 3 this weekend, provided we win on Friday, we'll play again on Sunday. We'll play the winner of Kentucky and Notre Dame. I would say maybe Notre Dame. Notre Dame's going to travel, too. So we have a huge crowd Friday and Sunday. Again, provided we win. This Washington team is legit. But let's take a look back. You know, the game against Southern, it took a little while to kind of get going. And that's kind of how it is. I mean, everybody throws wrinkles at you in the beginning of a ball game. And I thought we really took the flow to them. You know what I mean? It's like we spent just about the entire, maybe 85 of 90 minutes on their end of the pitch. Occasionally they would get something out there and just kind of clear it. We'd go right back in. But, it was good. But it took us a little while to kind of, you know, to get that first goal. 8 minutes in, 8-11, Maggie Wadsworth with her third goal of the year with an assist by Kennedy Husbands and Atana Martinez-Montoya. And Atana's been great. Kennedy Husbands has really been big for us down the stretch. You're starting to see her exert her will a little bit more. She's definitely an offensive playmaker for us, and when she's not scoring, she's setting up other people. Let's see. Allie Perry kind of gets in the action here with an assist to Price. I always mispronounce it. I want to say it's Leposer, but it's not. But anyway, Price with her second goal of the year. Makes it 2-0. That happens around the 19th minute. And then about 8 minutes later, Aitana gets in there and scores on the PK to make it 3-0. And at this point, I mean, like, we knew the game was over. And you start thinking about strategy, right? You think about the fact that we played like 35 games in 16 days. That's how it felt. And we just have some people kind of getting back. You know, Matty Anderson didn't play the second half of this game. I went out to practice on Friday to kind of check him out. And she was in a protective boot, not moving around much. So, hey, it's good to get her out of there before there's, you know, recurrence or maybe, maybe you worsen an injury. But we get her out of there. And we really just kind of take over in that second half. And maybe the last 10 minutes of the first half, there's a lot of reserves in the game. And so, we did what we had to do. We bring the starters back, for the most part, to open up the second half and really put this thing away with the quickness. Riley Combs scores her second goal to make it 4-0, an assist by Hannah Johnson, who has been invaluable to Mississippi State. She's played all over the midfield. Allie Perry gets a direct kick just outside the box. For a second, I thought they were going to do the VAR and just, you know, kind of see. Maybe. I thought it was a step or two outside the box. It doesn't matter. She scores anyway. And then Zoe Main scores with just like 2.5 minutes later. It's 6-0, and we emptied the bench here. Put a lot of players in the ball game that don't get to play an awful lot. Kara Harris scores the 7th and final goal and learned on Friday that she was good to go. We were a little bit worried about her after the South Carolina game. The injury looked worse than it proved to be. But she trained all week last week. She's good to go. Assisted by McKinnon Braswell and Riley Thompson. And it's so good to get other names in the box score. I'll tell you, I was very impressed with Southern in postgame. Really impressed with Southern postgame. Sydney Bellamy, the goalkeeper, has played some on the women's national team. And, listen, they knew it. They just couldn't come out and say it. They said, hey, I kind of knew what we were going into, so I can't beat myself up about all these goals. But, you know, Mississippi State as a host gave those ladies a great experience. And I understand, you know, the game is lopsided. And, I think anybody was realistic with themselves, never expected Southern to really give State much of a game. And that's not being disrespectful. There's a reason. Right? There's the Power Four and there's the G5 and there's the FCS in football, right? And so the reality of it is if you're Southern, you've never made an NCAA tournament game before, that's the reward. Anything beyond that's a bonus. And these ladies, Gifty Tor, that led their leading scorer, we really kind of bottled her up, but they were so appreciative. And I heard one of the reps make a comment to one of our Bulldog staffers that said, you know, a lot of schools could learn a lot about how to run an NCAA tournament game from coming to Mississippi State. They said one of the most difficult things is that it kind of appears like a neutral site. Now, the fans make the difference, but as far as like the call of the game, we didn't do our normal, pregame entrance type stuff. We didn't do all that kind of stuff. But other than the fact that the game was in Starkville, it was pretty even. And to hear the NCAA site rep say that, I think says a lot about Mississippi State. Now, granted, we've got a lot of experience, hosting postseason stuff. We did it with women's basketball. We've done it for years with baseball. And, of course, recently some with softball. You know, so we know what it takes. But he said Mississippi State may be the second best he's ever been to when it comes to that. And I think that says a lot about our administration. And about the university, but you get beat 7-0, it's tough. But the reality of it is, you leave here feeling like you were treated well with dignity and respect. I think that speaks well to Mississippi State. And I thought the very first thing that James Armstrong said is, "Hey, congratulations to Southern on a great year, making history themselves." And Mississippi State soccer is first class all the way, no doubt about it. And so now you begin to kind of think about, the bracket. We're down to 60. We went from 64 to 32 teams, and maybe you've kept up. Maybe you haven't. But let's take a look at the interactive bracket just right here real quickly. We'll kind of talk about teams that matter to us. Duke, of course, the number one seed. They beat Howard 8-0. So you'd expect that. Duke will take on Texas Tech. Tech eliminated LSU in the first round. LSU was kind of a surprise pick late, one of the last teams put into the bracket. They get beat 2-1 by Texas Tech. So that's next. Texas, of course, the Southeastern Conference Tournament Champions, they advance after a 4-1 win over Boston. They will play Michigan State in round two. Skipping along here. You know, UCLA is the only team in the country that has allowed fewer goals than Mississippi State. Their goals allowed average is just the only one that's ahead of State. They gave up one to Cal Baptist, so we'll have to kind of maybe check that. But that's a double overtime game that UCLA won 2-1. Really, the issue with UCLA has been all year is their ability to score. The ACC is considered the power conference in women's soccer. North Carolina wins their game 8-0 over USC Upstate. You'd expect that. They advance, obviously. South Carolina with a 6-0 win over East Carolina. The Gamecocks kind of getting hot here. They will take on Minnesota, a 3-6 game. Vanderbilt beats Lipscomb 4-1. That's a geographic pick there for sure. And so Vandy will take on Florida State, another one seed. On the other side of the bracket, just looking again for names of interest here, Auburn beats Florida International 4-1. They'll take on Ohio State, who is a 3 seed in their side. So it's a 6-3 game. That'll take place on 22nd. Wake Forest, our friends at Wake, you know, we got the 1, they got the 2. They took care of Morehead State. They'll play Colorado. Arkansas with a 4-0 decision over Oklahoma State. I really thought Oklahoma State might give them a better game. Didn't work out that way. And Arkansas will play Cal in round two. Notre Dame and Kentucky, of course, that's a 5-4 game. Notre Dame beats Milwaukee 5-1. Kentucky 1-1 in regulation, and they go to overtime and ended up having to win in PKs. Notre Dame is a legit offensive team. I expect Notre Dame to advance. I think it'd be a good thing for State if Kentucky did. I think that's the path of least resistance. Not that we need it, but the reality of it is, you know, hey, I just want to win in advance. Washington, they go to Utah State, and they beat one of the most prolific offenses in the country. They hold that game scoreless. It goes to PKs, and Washington advances, and, of course, State wins 7-0. So your 2:30 game on Friday, if you're in town, come on out, check it out. Notre Dame against Kentucky. And then about 30 to 40 minutes after that, we're going to have Washington versus Mississippi State. And so, again, we encourage you to come out and be a part of that. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we talk about the SEC teams and all that good stuff. You know, we talked about LSU already being, eliminated. Georgia eliminated 3-2. They were upset by Colorado, you know. I mean, so we've already had a couple of SEC teams eliminated, and there will be more this weekend. You know, we know that at least one, you know, because Kentucky and Mississippi State are in the same pod. But anyway, I'm glad that you guys are having fun with soccer. And again, if you've never come before, you know, you get to come to an NCAA tournament game for your first ever game. We encourage you to come, bring your cowbells, anything you got to make racket. Plenty of room for you out here. And again, we expect a huge, huge crowd come Friday. This is a historic season. We are very good. There are a lot of sports we don't really get invested in unless we're winning big. This is one of them. So we encourage you to come out and be a part of it on Friday. And hopefully we win on Friday and you're still in town. You'll come out and be with us on Sunday. All right, time for today's top 10 list is always brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Blair is a guy that knows how to get things done. Simple as that. Blair can get you taken care of when so many others can't. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or perhaps your retirement home, look no further than Blair Chandler to assist you and be your advocate with underwriting. His phone number, 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Guys, 24 years of experience in the industry. Top 1% close ratio in the country, back-to-back-to-back years. Nobody stays in any industry 20-plus years by accident. Blair's a guy that gets things done. Get his level of experience working for you. Right? A lot of people out there covet your business. They want your business. But, you know, this is a business decision, right? And this is your home we're talking about, right? This isn't just, hey, I got to go out here and borrow a couple grand. I don't mind paying a little higher interest rate to help a friend. This is kind of a lifelong decision. And so reach out to Blair no matter what your needs are, and Blair can assist you with that. Again, that's Blair Chandler at closeatblair.com. He's a Bulldog through and through, and he's my friend. Love doing business with him, and I think you guys will as well. We've had several Boneyard listeners that have closed loans through Blair. And so rather than go out there and you know, go through the phone book, just take my word for it here. Blair is your guy to go to, and let's keep business in the family whenever we can. Closeatblair.com. Okay, it occurred to me, my youngest son, Ian, of course, is a sophomore at Mississippi State, works at Bulldog Burger Company. He is a criminology major. And kind of working through some things, man. He's excited, you know. I mean, you can't, and he'd be embarrassed if I told you this, but recently found a girlfriend. Yeah. He dated off through high school. He's kind of taking his time in college. You know, that freshman year, he got to play the field a little bit, but he's found a young lady he's excited about. And I'm excited for him, but we don't just talk about that sort of stuff. I do a lot because I want to keep a dialogue with my son, who loves music too. And a lot of times I turn him on to stuff that's kind of more his style. We've recently talked about, you know, The Cure. He just kind of stumbled upon The Cure one day. And I told him, I said, hey, I was in a band. We used to cover this Cure song. And some friends of mine covered Love Song by The Cure. And, you know, so it begins a dialogue. So music sometimes is kind of how I get the dialogue going. Instead of me just texting him, hey, man, how are you? And you get back, oh, I'm good. You know, it's like I get the conversation going by getting him talking about something other than himself and other than school. And then eventually we get to those topics. So it's so interesting. I saw a meme the other day. It said that this mom was texting her college-age son, and she said it's like being on a dating app and talking to a guy that's not interested in you. So I have some skills I use to kind of get him going. And so I mentioned to him the other day, because he is more of an alternative guy. You know, he likes a little bit of rap, but he really likes more alternative stuff. And he loved the new wave stuff I've sent him. But I recommended something to him this week that got me thinking. I don't think we've done a top 10 list of this individual. And it's Jeff Buckley. And when I say that, some of you wonder, well, Steve, who's Jeff Buckley? And there are other people out there, it's like, oh, I'm so glad Steve's doing Jeff Buckley. Because I can tell you, those of us that were Jeff Buckley fans when he was still living, we loved Jeff Buckley because there was nobody quite like Jeff Buckley. Like, Jeff Buckley was the guy that Chris Cornell went to go see play. And Chris Cornell was already a superstar, you know, in grunge rock. And he's going to see Jeff Buckley. You know, that's about as high as praise as I can give an artist. It's just, you know, when superstars are paying to see you play, it's incredible. But Jeff Buckley, of course, we lost him way early, and initially, the initial reports were, you know, he did drown in the Wolf River, which is a you know, tributary of the Mississippi River near Memphis. And initially, we were told that he got drunk and fell in the river and he drowned. But the toxicology report later proved that he had no drugs or alcohol in his system. He did have some problems with alcoholism, as his mom has been very forthright about. But he did not die of a suicide or even suspicious circumstances. It was just a tragic accident. He was in full clothes, and they're all hanging. His band is flying in. They're working on some new material, and they're out hanging out by the river. And he jumps in and goes swimming in full clothes, and a tugboat came by. And then the wake of the tugboat pulled him under, and he was later found deceased, drowned. It's a tragedy. But he left behind some great music. And it's interesting, too, how there's been a bit of a revisionist history about, you know, the first album, Grace, was absolutely phenomenal. But basically everything that was kind of left around, his mom released, and gosh, if I don't remember this correctly, there was a couple live albums, too, but she released basically everything that he had been working on. And it's like 22 tracks, and it's Sketches for My Sweetheart the Drunk. That was the second album. And it's basically a double album. when it's all said and done. Of course, there have been some live albums that have been released, and they're definitely worth your time because Jeff Buckley was not a studio performer. As great as he was in a studio, he could pull it off live. I hate that I never got to see him live, but again, there's some live albums that we can kind of enjoy. So there's not really a rock edge to this. I mean, there's a couple songs that are up-tempo, but Jeff Buckley had a very haunting voice. It's difficult to describe. Jeff Buckley just sounded like Jeff Buckley. All right, number 10, it's the lead track on Grace. And again, this album obviously was my gateway, and I'll get to the gateway song a little bit later, but it's Mojo Pen. It's the lead track on the Grace album. If you're looking to download stuff, get the Legacy Edition. It's a little more to that one. It's a little beefier. But Mojo Pen, a super, super, super cool track. Another track off that album that I absolutely love. And it's performed live sometimes too, but it's not one that was really released as a single. And it's so real. And I love the falsetto on this. It's like Jeff's already got this very haunting thing, and you wonder where it's going to stop, and he just keeps kind of elevating in the higher register. Just amazing. All right, getting over to our sketches from My Sweetheart the Drunk. We're going to get started with the lead track on that album. It's The Sky is a Landfill. This is a little more up-tempo, you know, a little bit more, and you kind of expect that, you know, with the lead song on a new album. It's a trip, man, it is. It's an interesting, interesting song. Lyrical content is kind of all over. Now, probably maybe my second favorite song on Sketches from My Sweetheart the Drunk, but this is a song that I think everybody will love no matter what your favorite genre of music is. There is just this haunting element to this song. And there's just a magnificent beauty in it. Like we talk about, people say, well, you know, that song is a vibe. This is a vibe. And I would recommend if you don't listen to anything else on this, if you're just thinking, you know, Steve, I'm not really a music guy, check it out. Okay, there's no country twang to it. There's no rock edge to it. There's no big overproduced bass line to it. It's just music in its purest form. And I absolutely love it. And it's a song called You and I. Love that song. All right, number 6 on your list is Grace. Of course, that's a title track of the Grace album. It's also one that there are some acoustic versions out there too. And you might have fun with that. I like the studio version a little bit better. Number 5, great, great, great song. Off of Sketches from My Sweetheart the Drunk. A little bit different than everything else, though. It's called Everybody Here Wants You. It's true, right? And, you know, basically the song is kind of about a guy that's, you know, with a girl, and he's kind of having to come to grips with all of that, right? You know, he's interested in her. There's a lot of competition for her hand. And so it's kind of an interesting song. Kind of tells a bit of a story, but that's kind of how it feels, right? I mean, you know, it's like how many times, and guys, you know, listen, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know it. It's so much of that too is not about, you know, you being insecure, and there's nothing better than having somebody that's absolutely amazing that have options that chooses you, right? You don't never want to feel like you had to settle for, and you know how guys are, right? There's always going to be somebody making a run, always, you know. And sometimes you got to deal with that, especially when you're young, you're starting out. But it's an interesting track. It is. Kind of segueing into this one, man. Number 4, another just absolutely beautiful song. And it's not going to be like, you hear the title and some people are going to be like, wait a minute, Steve. I don't know if I like the direction of this. I think that you will like the direction of it when you listen to it. It's an absolutely beautiful song, and it's called Just Like a Woman. Now, I don't know about you, but we here on the show, we love all women. We love them all. We love some more than others, but we love them all. Women are beautiful creatures, and not just physically, right? I mean, there's just so much about you know, women in many respects being the fairer sex, you know, I've read many times before, and I can't remember who said, it may have been Shakespeare, you know, it said that, you know, the fact that childbearing is tied to the woman is probably the biggest thing that's ever happened for perpetuating the species. I mean, truthfully, women are absolutely beautiful creatures. And I mean that spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and then physically. I was basically raised by women in many respects. And, you know, of course, at least when I was a young kid. And then, you know, my dad was around, you know, lived away from me. So I got seen about once a month. But so I was 8 years old. I basically lived with my grandparents. And had a favorite aunt, my Aunt Kat, who recently had some surgery herself. And she's doing great now. And I'm happy about that because I need her. And, of course, I had four sisters. And so, you know, we've always had a lot of respect for women. And even when I was out there in the world, man, even when I was out there, I always with rare exception, I would say, I can only remember a couple times when I was drunk, maybe when I did or said something that I wish I could take back. But we never took advantage of women. Just didn't do it. And I have raised my sons to be the same way. You be the gentleman, even when other people aren't, you know. And there are so many friends of mine that have daughters at state. And I have told every one of them, you give them my number. If they ever get somewhere they don't want to be, they can call me day or night, and I will go get them and get them somewhere safe. And I mean that. I absolutely would. I would get out of bed and go do it. I would never want any of my friends' daughters to be in a situation. And we had a situation a while back. I think I talked about it on the show. One of my dear friends had a daughter up here. It was a freshman, and she was at a party, and you know, some things were going the way she didn't like. And our buddy Casey Hunt stepped up, got her in an Uber, and got her home, got her out of there, man. And I called Chris Amonis. I said, this is a story you'd probably never hear, but I wanted you to know that a friend of mine's daughter got an uncomfortable situation. And and it was one of our diamond dogs that stepped up and was a hero and a gentleman. And when I told Chris that story, he was very proud. He goes, you know, that doesn't surprise me because that's just KC. You know, he's just that guy, right? Nevertheless, changing the gears a little bit here. Number three, it's Lover, You Should Have Come Over. And this is kind of a pitiful song, to be honest with you, right? It's like, hey, I wanted you to come over. And you know, things have been better, you know, for both of us if you had, you know. And there's a video for this. It's a beautiful video. It's a beautiful song. But it is a little pitiful. You know, it's got a little bit of a whine to it, I guess you could say. All right, number two. This is the only number one that Jeff Buckley ever had. And it came well after his death. And it became as a product of American Idol. And it's a cover song. And you know my policy on covers, but I believe, and I'm not alone in this, not that I need anybody else's validation for my own opinions, this is the greatest cover of Leonard Cohen's amazing song, Hallelujah, of all time. And it's Jeff Buckley. And a lot of people have shared that and have covered it and have given him credit for that. And it wasn't an original track, but I would venture to say to you that it is as good or maybe even better than the original. There are not a lot of covers out there you can say that about, but the instrumentation behind this, but there's just a genuine authenticity in the vocal. And you know, we start talking about, you know, songs that you would want to have played at your funeral. This is one of them, man. This is one of them for sure. My gateway song, though, is number one. I remember I was out there working like a dog for the boss man out there as an outside collector, you know, going around and knocking on doors and picking up payments and leaving messages and repoing furniture and all that kind of stuff. It's the only job I could get at the time. And I was out there trying to make it happen for myself, and I remember hearing this on the Rock of Hattiesburg. I can't even remember the name of the station. I remember when they played this, and I was like, this is very different. And what's interesting is there's not another song in the Jeff Buckley catalog like this one. It's a little more commercial. It is. And the vocal delivery on this is unlike anything else of its era. It's really not. I mean, you've got this incredible bass line, too, that is just so infectious. And then Jeff kind of gets down there and has that very kind of crooner type quality to his voice. And then he hits that big wail. And it's just, I heard this, and maybe I heard it for like a week or two, and I had to go by Cloverleaf Mall and go to Camelot Music, or maybe it was Sound Shop. Yeah, I went to Sound Shop. Shout out to Francis, if you're still out there. Whoever you're with is lucky, I would assume. But nevertheless, went to Sound Shop and got the Jeff Buckley Grace album when I bought it, and felt great about life and about having that album. And here we are now. You know, goodness, 30 years later, talking about it. You know, it's just one of those albums that made a big impact on my life. And there are some times when I'm feeling a little melancholy, you know, and I'll put on some Jeff Buckley. But here's the thing that I'll tell you about Jeff is there is some commonality in the catalog, right? You know, sometimes people try to do too much and go in too many different directions. Jeff Buckley knew who he was. And so as a result, when you put this album on, it's very good driving music. It's kind of easy listening. Of course, there's some up-tempo stuff that'll keep you from going to sleep. But I think this is an artist that you will have a lot of fun with. And I think there are some songs that are written just for you. I think you're going to find some things in here and say, you know what, that's, I know how that feels. And Jeff was a genius. And we lost him way too soon. So I'm very honored today to pay tribute to the legacy of Jeff Buckley, that it's still... it's still something that people are talking about. They're like filming a movie right now about his life. And there's been some documentaries that have been produced. Because when we talk about, you know, artists that, you know, they're kind of like a flash in the pan. They showed up and burned out really fast. This whole thing with Jeff, like the way that he died, you know, and I guess I'm a firm believer that God makes no mistakes. But when you listen to this, it's a little bit haunting to think about what could have been. Right, if Jeff had lived. But I'm a firm believer, too, that there are some that are taken from us that are protected from a far worse evil. I believe that. You know, sometimes the timing is the timing. That's just kind of the reality of life. And so I cannot recommend this enough. It's probably different than what you're used to. But Jeff Buckley is one of those artists that I'm so glad that I was alive during the era. So I have a real appreciation for his creations. And of course, you know how I feel about Chris Cornell. And if Chris Cornell is the kind of guy that wanted to turn out and see Jeff Buckley, that's about as good of endorsement as you could ever get. So if you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. You never know, maybe just do it. Best way to do it is to hit a Broy on Twitter. And we did get him to cross the picket lines and come off strike. And we got the list back out there. And so we'll stay on top of that. And I love Roy. I'm not being critical of Roy by any string. Any stretch, excuse me. But nevertheless, find Roy on Twitter or X and Spotify under the handle Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. And you can follow him on Spotify, and then like when a new playlist comes up, it's there for you. We make it easy for you. And that's Roy's doing. I was never going to do it. Roy started doing it. He contacted me and said, hey, I'm happy to do it for free. God, we've been doing this for years now. Coming up on 5 years of Roy being a part of the show. Roy, we'll have to do your five-year evaluation sometime soon. Maybe we'll consider doubling up the benefits for you. But nevertheless, thankful for Roy and all that he does for the show. And thank you guys for your support of the Top 10 list. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart. Man, Campus Bookmart is a Starkvillian institution. I love Campus Bookmart. Chances are you do too. And if you don't, it's because you hadn't shopped there yet. The best selection of Mississippi State merchandise on the planet. What are you waiting for? Yeah, every Bulldog in your family wants new Mississippi State merchandise for Christmas. You got 5 weeks to get it right. Don't mess it up. Visit Campus Bookmart next time you're in town. If you can't make it to town, or perhaps game day is not a great day to shop for you, you can visit them online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that's BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. And it's not just apparel. It's all the little gift items you need, all the knickknacks, whether it's a housewarming gift, a graduation gift. Many of you have upcoming graduates that'll graduate this semester, you know, buy them that diploma frame, and you can find a great selection at Campus Bookmart. Be a gift that'll last them a lifetime. And every time they look at it, they'll say, hey, you know, my grandmother bought me that. My favorite uncle or aunt bought me that. It's a great gift. Be thinking about that. Campusbookmart.net. Okay. Now, here's the thing. Mississippi State got out to a 3-0 start, and we're thinking, okay, how good are we? You know, we hadn't really played anybody. And you know, Utah was picked 12th in the Big 12. But they're one of the most prolific three-point shooting teams in the country. And so they come in, you know, 3-0 as well. And so this was a test for us. And I think we found out in the first half how big a test it really was. Guys, it's 39-28 at the break in favor of Utah. And, of course, there was a couple segments there where Josh kind of got going a little bit, but they bottled him up a pretty good bit. And the portal kind of went to work for State. As Melendez and Riley Kugel begin to make some contributions, and all of a sudden you had to get out and you had to defend them, and it opened up some things for Josh. And of course, Josh, really good off the bounce. That finger roll is ridiculous. But yeah, State really, really took charge in that second half. A 50-point second half against a Utah team that has been pretty good. You know, again, you don't know the level of competition that they played. So, you know, a good early test for us. And again, I questioned the wisdom of playing this game in the Lander Center. Nothing against the folks in South Haven. I love you guys. But I thought, you know what, hey, let's play this game in the hump. But instead, we go to Landers. And again, it took us a while to get going. But if you're not excited about Mississippi State men's basketball, it's time you get there because of the fact you got a good team. You know, one of the concerns I had kind of going in was, you know, what are we going to do at the five? You know, you don't have that big body Tolu Smith that you can always just kind of lob it down there more times than not to get a basket, but also to a great rebounder, a guy that can kind of eat up space in the middle. You know, Tolu was it's a missing piece. And some people would say, you know, Steve, he never lived up to his billing. I don't know if I agree with that, but the reality of it is we miss him. And I thought we really did a really good job with the five against Utah. And there were times we went with a smaller lineup, and it hurt us a little bit on the defensive end, but we were able to score. And again, free throws down the stretch, man. That has been an Achilles heel for us, man, for what feels like a decade. But down the stretch, Cam Matthews really, really did a good job for State. And, you know, there's so much of that late in ball games. I mean, Cam is a guy that can get to the rim. He is a guy, too, that is a leader, you know, and so he understands what's at stake when he steps to the line. I love the ball in his hands late because more times than not, you're going to get points, and we did. Kind of breaking it down here, you know, again, give them some credit, and I thought we did a good job getting their defensive guys down low to foul, got them in some foul trouble, and allowed us to really get some run going. We opened that second half on a ridiculous run. I think it was 15-5 at one point. And so you eat that up and take the lead. But Ezra Azur, 15 points in the game for him. Myra Little with 10, knocked down a couple threes. Mason Madsen off the bench was really good for them, 14 points and 4 and 5 from beyond the arc. But, yeah, we did some good things defensively in this ballgame. You look at Dawes. I mean, that's a guy that's been kind of carrying him a little bit. He had 13 points, but it was kind of quiet, you know. He didn't do much in the first half. But, you know, you start looking at this. The first half, they shoot 45%. Excuse me, yeah, 45%. And we limited a little bit there in the second half. You know, still, they shot about the same proficiency, but you know, we weren't giving up as many shots. Mississippi State, of course, 23 points from Josh Hubbard. Most of that in the second half. 5 of 9 from beyond the arc. And you just kind of felt it. You know, like all of a sudden, Josh started getting loose and he can hit that off-balance three. Played 33 minutes and all of them were valuable. Somebody pointed out this stat. I can't remember who it was. And I would give them credit if I could find it. But Josh has played 4 games without a turnover. That's ridiculous, man. As much as he handles the basketball and he hadn't turned it over yet in 4 games, at some point the law of averages has kept up. But we talk about, you know, the leap you make from year 1 to year 2. Ball security is one of them. Cam Matthews, a dozen points. Eight of them come on the free throw line as we're trying to put this game away. Pulled down four rebounds. Got in a little foul trouble, too. But also dished out four assists. So, you know, Cam out there making the most of his 23 minutes of action. Keyshawn Murphy. I thought it was the best game that Keyshawn Murphy has had as a Bulldog. And 14 rebounds in the game, 18 points, 5 of 12 from the field. Did fire up a three that wasn't there, but and stayed out of foul trouble, right? A lot of times, you know, when you're having to get out there, he's basically a stretch four, and at times we kind of rotate him up there to the five. But just two fouls, you know, had a couple blocks. And there was a big block with about 4 minutes to go in the first half. I think that's correct. That kind of sparked a rally. You know, it's like we're beginning to kind of get some separation, and then he gets a big block there, and he had that second block, which is a big block late. So great game for him. Riley Kugel mentioned him. Did not hit from three, but did get 12 points. And how about the alley-oop pass from Kugel to Melendez out on the open break there? You know, how long has it been since we've had guys that could really elevate? You know what I'm saying? I mean, honestly, it's been a long time. We've had guys that could really play above the rim. Kanye Clary, no points for him. He did get out there and play 14 minutes. And, you know, we kind of need to get him going. But that's the thing with this roster is you can absorb a game where you have a guy that you're counting on not have a big game because we have so many other pieces to work with. So the Bulldogs in the first half shoot 22%, nearly 23%. We were 8 of 35. Kind of cautioned about those unfamiliar rims. Well, we kind of figured it out in the second half. Shoot 50%. Close the game right at 36%. But again, when you're putting the ball in the hole, there's no transition. And in the first half, they really hurt us on transition threes especially. They're able to get out in transition. We had some big misses. When you don't miss, it's difficult for them to fast break when they're pulling the ball out of the net. Three-point shooting in the first half was abysmal, just 1 of 13. We go 5 of 12. It's not a great night, just 6 of 25, but some big threes down the stretch as we began to get the crowd into it. And those of you that attended the game, you were a part of it. But 24 of 33 from the line. And when you've got a guy like Cam Matthews, you can't just sit back and let that guy get to the rim because he's going to finish. And so he's going to see a lot of time at the free throw line. And like all of you, I love Cam Matthews. He's been a glue guy for us, but also, too, down the stretch, he's got the poise to handle those free throws when we need them. Bulldogs with 30 points in the paint, 19 off turnovers, 18 second chance points. That's a product of good offensive rebounding. Only 4 on the fast break, but 36 off the bench. And, of course, you know, Murphy a big part of that. But a very competitive game and a great, again, a good early test for State. And a great result against a team that is playing better than expectations. And I think after we saw them, the way they operated things offensively in that first half, I think we all agree, hey, we're going to have to bring our best effort in the second half, and then we do. We do. Now, we'll play Friday in Dallas. So that here's the call out to all of our Dallas-Fort Worth Bulldogs that aren't going to make the trip to Starkville this weekend. We need you to go take over that arena. We need you to do it. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're thinking, you know what, Steve, I just can't do it this week. I'd love to come to soccer and make a big weekend out of it and see the Bulldogs on senior day, but I just can't do it this weekend. Well, you can still go out there and make a difference and go check out the Bulldogs against SMU. Now, this SMU team, we'll talk about it more on Friday. But 4-1 on the year, and again, you look at the quality of play, of competition, they have played most of their games at home. They get the win over Tarleton State, Florida A&M, UNC Greensboro. And then they play Butler. And even though Butler isn't what they have been, that's a program with some tradition. But the first road game they play is in Indianapolis, Indiana. And they lose by 11 to Butler. And then they blow out Prairie View. So, again, you know, the first team they've really played with a pulse, they beat them. You know, and so this is going to be their red game. So you Bulldogs can be show up wearing maroon. You can stand out in the crowd. We can all look at you and be proud that you're there representing all of us because so many of us will still be here in Starkville. So, again, big game. You know, not sure what SMU is going to look like once they get into ACC play. You know, that's a, you know, the level of competition in that conference. But again, a nice early test for State. And frankly, you know, going on the road, playing a team like this, it's got some confidence. That could be a dangerous game for us. We got to go out there and bring our best effort, for sure. And they're going to be confident. You know, having an SEC team in the house, you know, students are still in town. They'll pack it out. So we need some Bulldogs there to kind of carry the weight for the rest of us. So, you know, good early test for us that we passed. And now we get another one. And then we start thinking about kind of what's next after that. Well, you know, we're going to head out to Tempe, Arizona again. You know, and great place. We'll get UNLV. And then we get the winner of, or depending on how it plays out, we'll get two games out there. We get the winner of the Butler-Northwestern game if we win, and the loser if we lose. And those games are going to be broadcast on the CBS Sports Network. So a lot of eyeballs on those games will come home and play Pitt in the SEC-ACC Challenge. So an interesting stretch here for your Bulldogs. And commend Chris Jans for getting out and scheduling some games that kind of make sense to people, right? I mean, like, hey, we're Mississippi State. We expect to be good this year. We're not going to build up this false sense of confidence by playing a bunch of teams that aren't going to help us in the net. We're going to get out and play some teams, some Power Four conferences, and we don't mind going on a road to do it. Part of the deal, right? You Memphis folks, we'll be back and see you guys soon on December 21st. That's the Saturday game. Be on CBS as we take on Penny Hardaway and the Tigers. But in between there, a lot of games to play. But again, I commend Chris Jans for the scheduling. But what can you say about this Bulldog team so far and the things that they've been able to accomplish? Again, really, really proud of the start. And I encourage you when you can to get to Humphrey Coliseum. If you haven't been, it is not the place that you remember in years past. If you haven't been in the last year or so, you're going to be very proud of the arena, and you're going to be proud of the investment that we've made. But, guys, we got one of the best coaches in the country. And I don't know that anybody could argue against that. You know, then you look at what we did in the portal, and then look at how this team is beginning to kind of find a sense of itself. You know, you knew what you had with Cam. You knew what you had with Josh. You hoped you could find a bigger role for Murph, and we appear to be finding that. And you think about Kugel, and Riley Kugel's not going to be a guy that's pitching in five, 6 points a game consistently. It's a guy that's going to get going, and I suspect it'll be sooner rather than later. But again, like the look of the team, and it just feels so good to win, right? And many of you felt like, oh, yeah, we'll beat Utah. And then at halftime, you're probably like me thinking, you know what? We got to get this thing going. But you begin to tell yourself there's no way we can shoot it that bad in the second half. We'll figure it out, and we do. And that's the thing about Josh Hubbard. At some point, Josh is going to go off, and it elevates the emotions of everybody on that team. And it's just like Kugel laying that alley-oop up to Melendez. I mean, it's like you could see it happening, and you knew it needed to happen, and the folks in attendance really responded in a big way. So super cool result. And we'll continue to be excited. And again, listen, is this a team that's going to win an SEC championship? No, I don't think we can say that. Is this a team that should finish in the top half of the league? I believe that all of us believe that. I don't care that they picked us 10th. I believe that we're going to be in the top half of this league and be back in the NCAA tournament. I don't know what Utah will do, but now that we've defeated them, we're some of their biggest fans. We need them to go out there and help us continue to win games. Certainly when I get in a conference play. But again, super proud and super impressed with the adjustments we made at the half and the fact that we just kind of found something, you know, on the offensive end. And once we start playing offense, it's very, very difficult to beat Mississippi State because you know what we're going to bring defensively. We're going to make you grind it out. And there, listen, some teams out there that can hit from the perimeter, they're going to give us a little trouble, you know. We had trouble kind of closing that on shooters in transition against Utah. But once we started making baskets and we were able to get back on defense, we kind of eliminated that from the arsenal. And we were able to pull away and win a ball game. And, again, very good win for Mississippi State. You get a win this weekend, you're probably ranked come Monday. How cool would that be? All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Man, I love the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. I cannot wait. A few weeks from now, we'll be spending a night there, a couple nights there. Going to have everybody in the family under one roof. I don't know who's more excited about it, me or my wife. But I know that we're going to have all of the aunts and uncles of my grandchildren there. And I know that those girls are going to have a big time, you know, with my children. And it's so nice to be able to provide a venue and an opportunity for everybody to congregate together and stay under one roof. I can already smell those cinnamon rolls that we're going to have Saturday morning. I can smell them right now. I know what's going to happen. I do. It's going to be great. Maybe we'll cook some steaks. You know, maybe we'll DoorDash some food. I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to do it together. And you should take the lead in your own family and plan an event like this. And maybe you don't have a big family. Maybe you're looking to build a family. Maybe it's a couples weekend. Maybe it's a cousin's weekend. Maybe it's a college roommate's weekend. Or maybe you've got some time off midweek. Kids are going to be out of school and say, hey, let's go to Starkville. We can take everybody to their favorite restaurants and we can do some shopping at some of our favorite shops here in Starkville when it's not a game day weekend. Maybe you haven't even considered that opportunity. Or maybe it's a work group. Maybe how cool would it be to have everybody under one roof and have some common areas to work? And yeah, pretty soon it's not just going to be a 5-bedroom. It's going to be a 6-bedroom. Yeah, that's coming soon. Yeah, so plenty of room for everybody to stretch out. And then again, some areas you can kind of get together and watch some TV or play some games. I don't know if we'll have a TV on much. I think we'll just kind of get out there and enjoy each other's company. I love my family. I know you love yours too. And anytime that you get a chance to get everybody together, which is becomes more and more of a rarity as everybody begins to get, you know, the roots planted somewhere else and get their own families, it's tough to get everybody together and coordinate those schedules. So you got to kind of think ahead, right? Got to think ahead a little bit and make the plans. But you need to take ownership of that. You do. You need to say, hey, let's do this. Let's stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Their Facebook page will auto-populate for you. And you can check out all the fine amenities that are available to you and your guests just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. Maybe you come stay midweek, take in a women's game and a men's game. Yeah, that sounds like a blast already, doesn't it? Sure it does. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, you're going to have some booking options. You can book Airbnb. You can book VRBO. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10, get you 10% off your stay. How super cool is that? Just by listening to the show, you're saving money at the premier place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, we talked about the men's game. I would be remiss if we didn't talk about the women's game. How cool is it? You know, somebody asked me yesterday on Twitter, and I hadn't had time to look it up. I don't think it's that long ago. But the men and women are both off to a 4-0 start and avenge the loss against Chattanooga. And that was, you know, I remember last year we went out there and we were a little bit antsy about the game. Well, there was nothing to be antsy about in this one is the Bulldogs pretty much controlled throughout. Chattanooga did outscore us by 3 in the second quarter. Bulldogs win by 25, 69-44. Now, this Chattanooga team, maybe not the team of last year, the Lady Mocs, a little bit better last year. But we had to go up there and play and came home with a loss. And a lot of people are like, ah, oh, Steve, I don't know. And granted, we got it turned around in SEC play and this kind of ran out of gas. But you look again, it's so incredible how it's a different hero every night. You know what you're going to get from Jerkalia Jordan or Jerkalia, excuse me. Somebody always corrects me on that. Jerkalia Jordan. She had a dozen points. And she is a facilitator, and she is a person that gets on the glass, 8 rebounds, all of them of the defensive variety. Anaya Russell with 19 points in 31 minutes of action, 7 of 13 from the floor, also pulled down 7 rebounds. So pretty consistent night in that respect. But free throws, man, 20 of 21. That's one thing you can say about the Sam Purcell teams. More times than not, you put us at the line, we're going to make you pay for it. Denim DeShields, 5 for 5, 10 points for her. 25 minutes of action. Of course, now becoming a starter. And DeBrescia Poe with 8 points, 3 of 4 from the floor, but you know, only attempted the 1 3-point basket and made it. We're only 3 of 17 from beyond the arc and still won this game handily. Now, we're going to have to shoot with much better proficiency when we get an SEC play, and we all know it, okay? That's the thing, you know. I love that guy, right? There's always that guy on Facebook or Twitter or wherever you're getting your social media sports news these days. There's always that one guy, no matter how well we play. Well, we're going to play a lot better when we get an SEC play. Well, we didn't play an SEC team. John, or what did Moorhead call him from Boca Chica? Anyway, Bob from Boca Chica, whatever. You know, Bob, we didn't play an SEC team. There's a reason we play the non-conference games, and that's to kind of figure some things out. It's for us to kind of find some chemistry, figure out who we can trust, who should be starters, who can help us in certain matchups. We ramp up in the SEC play. There's a reason that we play all these games before Christmas, and not just us, but everybody else. So we're going to be a much different team in some respects when we get into SEC play, because probably you don't go as deep into the bench until you have to, you know. So just kind of pump the brakes on our criticism. Let's just kind of enjoy the fact that we're 4-0 on both the men's and the women's side. And, you know, we talk about, you know, defense, right? That's one of those things that I've said many times. I think one of the reasons that our fans loved those Vic Schaefer teams so much is because we're so blue-collar. Like, we will get out there and absolutely outwork you, and defensively, we will make you uncomfortable. Guys, in this first half, Chattanooga shot 18%. Guys, that's getting it done right there. That's getting it done. When you hold a Division I team under 20% shooting, you better have a halftime lead, and certainly we did. They kind of got going a little bit in the second half, made a couple more shots, shot 37%, but 27% for the game, 16 of 59. And many of those shots were contested. They did knock down some threes, 7-29, and shot the three better than we did. But, again, you win by 25. You know, so again, good win, not a great Chattanooga team, but the reality of it is Mississippi State playing well. And I told you guys beginning of the year, I was a little more optimistic about the men than the women, and we'll find out what we have here in the weeks to come. Now, the women will be back in action on Wednesday with Mercer. The Bears coming in here, not the Black Bears, not yet anyway. But Bears coming in here, and so that's going to be your only midweek game this week, on the basketball side. And so there's Mississippi State men are going on the road this weekend. So if you're in the area, I encourage you to come out, be a part of this with us. Should be a nice crowd. And I guess I get it. You know, it's midweek basketball. But it's getting to be that time of year, right? It's fun stuff. It is. And when we're playing well, we need you here. Now, the Mercer Bears are just 2-2 on the year. They opened up with a win over Young Harris, 61-28. They beat UNC Asheville. Things have been a little more difficult here in recent weeks. I guess one of those was an exhibition. Yeah, Young Harris was an exhibition. So they knock off UNC Asheville. They lose at Florida Atlantic, 58-48. And then they lose to Western Kentucky, 78-54. And then they beat North Carolina A&T, 46-38 at the Hawkins Arena there at home. And so they've played one road game, and they've lost it. And then, of course, 2-1 at home. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But now, this should be a game I think that State wins handily. That's going to be broadcast on the SEC Network if you can't make it to town. And many of you have learned how to use your ESPN app. So, it doesn't matter if it's on the network or ESPN, whatever. You just click on the app and you find your game. A lot of people need a lot of help with that in the beginning, but we've kind of got it, you know, worked around now. But I think you got to feel good about where we are right now. I tweeted that out, you know, just yesterday about, you know, we get the soccer win, we get the men's basketball win, and we get the women's win. There's a lot to feel good about, you know. Speaking of things to feel good about, you know, it's been quite the adventure with Mississippi State football recruiting, but we have picked up a nice little run here as of late. And we'll talk about that a little bit. You know, we've only got a few more spots left before we have to start really conserving and thinking about the portal. You know, of course, we picked up Mason Clinton. When I went to Media Day at East Mississippi, one of their coaches told me, I was there to interview Xavier Hardy, and he told me, he goes, you know, Mason Clinton might actually be our best defensive lineman. It's a kid that needs football, a kid that was out of Petal High School, went to UL Lafayette. He's a D1 bounce back, so he's not just some kid that's ramping up. He's already been in a Division I weight room, and he's also a guy that's like 6'5", 290. And, guys, we are going to completely revamp the defensive line in the portal. And so when you begin to think about, well, what are we going to do? You know, Steve, we're probably talking 8 new defensive linemen from the JUCO and the portal ranks collectively. And so it'll all make sense again. I think Mason Clinton is a two-deep guy. I don't expect him to come in and play as a starter, but I do expect him to play, and I also expect him to contribute. I don't think there's any question. I've seen him play. Many of you haven't. But, yeah, we're not signing that guy expecting him to come in here and be Jeffrey Simmons. That's just not the case. And, of course, we get Anson Lewis. And this is a guy that wanted to commit to Mississippi State back here in June. And you know, this is a guy we probably, under normal circumstances, would have taken earlier. Now, let me kind of walk you through it a little bit. So, he had off-season surgery. And so, he didn't get out and go to combines because he wasn't healthy. And he didn't do a ton of camps. And he elected to go camp at LSU and Florida State. Didn't come to Mississippi State, which is a bad decision. It is, because you already had the offer from Mississippi State, right? He grew up an LSU fan. We're going to be fair about that. You know, he wanted to go to LSU, so I don't begrudge him going down there making them tell him no. He had an official visit set up for June. That got pushed back, and really that was just really about we needed to see him. You know, if we had seen him in camp and knew that he was healthy, knew how well he could run, knew how he could take coaching, I think he would have already been a Bulldog. He has favored Mississippi State really for some time. And so now we've gotten it done. And I think a lot of it's just, hey, we needed to see him back. And so we had the opportunity to see him this fall and see his senior film from Oak Grove. And now all of a sudden he's a take. So now he's a Bulldog. And then over the weekend you pick up Joseph Skipworth. Flip him from Kansas. That's one of those things our fans always say, well, how can we never flip anybody? Well, we do. It just people forget. We flip him from Kansas. Now Skipworth's a guy too. The day after he commits to Kansas, Mississippi State offers him. And Cooper stayed on him. Talked to him yesterday. He said Coop continued to, like, didn't even care that he was committed to Kansas. Just stayed on him, recruited him like he wasn't committed to anybody. And eventually Skipworth's like, you know what? They want me to come in and visit. They've recruited me so hard. I owe it to them to at least go take a look for myself. Not to mention Starkville's a lot closer to Milton, Florida, and Pace High School than Lawrence, Kansas is. Okay? It is what it is. And so Skipworth comes in. And one of the things, like his mom wanted to know, is like, hey, you know, how are you guys going to utilize a tight end? Well, they see, you know, what Say-Doo is using. You know, a lot of every coach says, hey, we're going to use a tight end more. That's what they tell everybody. And then they don't, right? And how many times has that happened at Mississippi State? Oh, we're going to use a tight end more. Yeah, you know, the tight end is a key component of the Jeff Lebby offense. And Skipworth sees that. He understands. He's like, you know what? These guys aren't just making a promise. They got production that they can show me. And so we do. And so Skipworth now flips. And now you start thinking, okay, about what's next. We'll update you a little bit more on the visit list on Wednesday's show. But we expect a huge crowd on Wednesday, on Saturday, when the Bulldogs host Missouri. And, of course, they've changed the rule now. You know, Mississippi State was having to kind of count, you know, official visitors and that kind of stuff, and think, okay, what's next? You know, what are we going to do? How are we going to get all these guys to campus? And then all of a sudden, the NCAA says, hey, listen, we've got a lot of people out there. They're going to be short of visits. They've been negatively impacted by the portal. So we're going to remove the prohibition and the limit on visits through March. Because if you're a team like Mississippi State and thinking, hey, you know, we've got to go sign about 20 kids in the portal, which means you probably got to bring 30 in for a visit. Well, you don't have a lot of visits left over for high school and JUCO guys. So you got to bring guys in unofficially and compete against other teams that maybe could bring them in officially. Right? That's a big part of it. Well, now that they've removed the cap on official visits, well, now we can kind of load up this final weekend. And I think when we confirm with some guys, and we've already got a working list together, we're going to have a good group of visitors this weekend, officially and unofficially. And so I think it's important, too, that, you know, hey, let's turn out and turn up for the fans and the team and the recruits and, you know, give these guys an idea of what Mississippi State can be. You know, it has not been the year that we want, but listen, guys, let me tell you this. We're not going to coach our way out of this. We're not going to cowbell our way out of this. We're going to have to recruit our way out of this. And, of course, a lot of that's got to come from NIL. And I'm not going to make a pitch. I'm just telling you. What's going to happen over the course of the next 6 weeks is going to probably determine what kind of season you have next year. We talked about that in baseball, right? When we got back from Charlottesville, we said, hey, what happens the next month is going to determine the quality of our team. Guys, we're a preseason top 20 team in baseball. I don't expect that in football, but these next 6 weeks are probably the most crucial of the Jeff Lebby era at Mississippi State. And not everybody, we're not just sitting around waiting around. You know, we're planning, doing what we need to do to prepare so when guys enter the portal, you know, and trust me, there's already these agents and things like that that are saying so-and-so may go in the portal. I mean, we get it in our industry all the time. Hey, this kid's going to probably go in the portal. When, and if we're getting that information, you know that college coaches around the country are getting that information. So while they can't contact them, they can go ahead and begin an evaluation and say, hey, if this kid goes in, we want to offer him. And so that's where having, you know, a little more robust recruiting staff than we've had historically makes a difference. And so recruiting is going to be a big part of what we're going to be covering at Gene's Page over the course of the next few weeks. You know, it'll be a busy weekend for us as we work through these visitors. But yeah, I think there's a really good chance that we get some commitments during the official visit weekend or shortly thereafter. Right? Does that make sense to you? I think you're going to, we just added 3 commitments and we're up at 29th in the country. What are we, 19 commitments right now? Is that right? Yes, 19. Yeah, we're 19. I think there's a good chance you're 22, or maybe even 23 by the end of next week. I expect business to really pick up here in the next couple of days. You know, again, we get guys on campus and guys are kind of getting into it too, right? A lot of schools out there are still playing football, you know, so it's more difficult for those guys to get out and take official visits, which kind of brings me, before I get to Camarillo, there's one thing I meant to say this on the show the other day. I've been out and watched, 10 of the 19 commitments in person this year. And I wouldn't throw any of the guys that I've seen in person back. I had the opportunity to watch Tyshawn Willis and Velma Jackson play against French Camp Academy. And it really wasn't an even game. Okay, and that's not to be critical of the folks at French Camp Academy. Okay, we covered the game. Everybody saw it was a running clock in the second half. They just don't have the horses this year. They don't, especially to compete with Velma Jackson. Guys, that ball game between Velma Jackson and French Camp Academy, I have never in my career seen better sportsmanship by two teams, ever, ever. It says a lot about the coaches of those teams, the parents of those players, and the players themselves. Guys, that ball game got away from French Camp pretty early, and it was pretty obvious how that thing was going to go. And rather than go out there and, you know, jump around and be demonstrative and be disrespectful to French Camp, the kids from Velma Jackson, they tackle them and help them up. Got to make a play. Kid from Velma Jackson, you know, pat him on the backside or on the helmet. The kids from French Camp Academy, the same way. It says so much about the administrators and the coaches and everybody involved with these programs when they go out there and are such great ambassadors for their schools. Because listen, we've all been on the other end of this thing, right? And I can tell you, I'm a terrible loser, but I'm a worse winner. You know, I'm the kind of person, like, if I can't run my mouth, I'm unhappy, right? But we've been in those ball games at some point where you are getting crushed and you get embarrassed. And you're out there, you know, whether it's a high school game or a rec league game or something, nobody likes to lose. And you certainly don't like to see somebody really wear you out. And Velma Jackson probably could have scored a little bit more in this ball game, but they emptied the bench out. And I was so impressed too at French Camp Academy. Guys, this game's over, right? It's over. And the next thing you know, they get a pass and they get to around the 35-40-yard line of Velma Jackson. And everybody at French Camp is running to the line with a running clock to try to get one more playoff to try to get one in the end zone. They took a shot, didn't work out. But I thought, you know what? I don't know if these guys are going to be good in football next year. No clue. You know, because they're very much reliant on new enrollees, right? It's true. But those kids are going to win at life, man. Those kids are going to win at life. The game is over. It would have been easy to pout. It would have been easy to say, you know what, let's just go home. My girlfriend's waiting. You know, I want to go eat with my family. It would have been easy to do that. But they didn't do that. And then when the game is over, both teams kind of come together and everybody's shaking hands and there's no disrespect, man. And I was so incredibly impressed, and I should have already talked about this, but I've been incredibly busy the last couple weeks. And I thought about that when I was driving back yesterday. I said, you know, I need to really commend both of those schools and all of those coaches and certainly all of those players for doing it the right way. Intimidation can be part of football. And sometimes you can be intimidating with your talent alone. You don't have to get out there and talk a bunch of trash. And that's a lesson for me too, honestly. But I travel this state, and I love this state. I absolutely love Mississippi. I love being from Mississippi. And again, I've covered recruits for us in four different states this year. And counting what Rion has done, I think we've done 8 or 9 states this year, covering kids at Mississippi State's recruiting. But I wanted to speak about that because that's not necessarily about Mississippi State and that's not necessarily about those schools, but it's about playing the game the right way. It truly is. I was so impressed. And of course, I know both of those coaches, you know, had a chance to meet them both, shake their hands. Of course, I've known Bernard Yule a long time, and I told him after the game, I told Bernard, I didn't get a chance to speak to the coach at French Camp. I did speak to him before the game, but didn't have a chance to speak to him afterwards. But I told Bernard, I said, Bernard, I'm just so impressed with all of the kids to handle themselves like men. And to get out here and treat each other as equals, even though the talent differential clearly favored Velma Jackson. But Velma Jackson did not go to French Camp Academy and disrespect those kids. And those kids in French Camp Academy did not go out there and act like a bunch of whiny brats. They acted like class young men. And their families and their coaches are to be commended. Absolutely. All right. That's it. Kamario Taylor. I had a chance to see him over the weekend. And, of course, George is trying to get him to visit. He hadn't committed to take that visit. And, of course, a lot of people out there that always think that the clouds are always dark over Starkville, are already, lurking. Texas A&M has been in contact with him. Guys, I can tell you, I'm not worried about Kamario. That's not to say that he won't take a visit somewhere. But one of the things that I also know about Kamario Taylor is he is committed to winning a state championship at Noxubee County. They haven't won one since 2017 when he was just a kid. This is his last ride with his guys, and he does not want to be a distraction to that team. I can tell you that. And there is just some mojo with that kid, and I've used that to describe him a couple times. Like, there's only so much you can see on a huddle video. I know a lot of people sit in their lazy boy and call themselves an evaluator and they never go see a kid play. They just look at a huddle video and say, yeah, he's pretty good. There are a lot of qualities that can't be illustrated on a highlight video. You know, and the thing that I would say about Camargo that's so impressive to me, I mean, obviously, he is an impressive physical specimen, but he's also an incredible leader. Incredible. Like, in pregame, he is just one of the guys. Like, I mean, they're all playing the music, and he's dancing around, and he's singing, and he's going up, dancing with his other guys, and there's kids out there that aren't going to play, and he makes those guys feel part of it. Those are kids you win with, man. I give Coach Mancuso, who is a legend in this state, a lot of credit for putting together a great game plan. You know, it's like, hey, we're going to keep that offense on the sidelines the best we can. Guys, the first quarter, each team had the ball once, and Jeff Davis' possession went into the second quarter, and it took a goal line stand to turn them away. And then Camargo Taylor was kind of like, okay, bet. When they went up 6-0, I thought to myself, this game is over. This game's over. I don't know what the final score is going to be, but this game is over. Because Camargo rallied the troops. He's like, okay, I got you guys. I got you. Let's go. And I give those kids and Jeff Davis a lot of credit. They were undermanned. They were smaller than they normally are. But they fought hard until the end. I think they had three running backs get beat up in the game. I mean, they played really, really hard. A very physical football game. And Jeff Levy and Matt Holchek there to witness the game and to see Camargo. And then the game's over. I look over there, and Camargo is over there talking to their cheerleaders from Jeff Davis. You know, it's good work if you can get it, right? But, no, I'm not worried about Camargo. But, again, that's not to say that somebody might not talk him into taking a visit. But, you know, remember, Omar Connor is his uncle. This is a guy that grew up wanting to play at Mississippi State and kind of following the footsteps. Mario Taylor is his dad, another guy that was extremely excited when Mississippi State offered. And, of course, Mississippi State, the good recruiting move. You knew at some point they were going to offer Jaden Taylor, Camargo's younger brother, because he is an SEC player. Well, the timing worked out perfect. They went ahead and offered him Friday night. So Saturday morning, of course, we have reaction from JT. And so you start thinking, oh, well, is Georgia and A&M going to offer a brother too? You know, there's a lot to it. You know, so it's good recruiting by your Bulldogs. But, you know, Camargo has been at every home game this year, and I expect that he'll be here this weekend. I can't tell you he's not going to take a visit, but I think you're going to be very happy with what happens on signing day. It's going to be a Bulldog. And this may sound sacrilegious to some. I honestly believe that Camargo Taylor may be the best quarterback prospect that we signed since Dak Prescott. Honest to goodness. And that's not any disrespect to Mike Van Buren at all. Camargo's a bigger guy. And Mike's got some moxie too, don't get me wrong. But there's just something about Camargo. We talk about having the it factor. It's kind of an intangible quality. And Camargo has that. And he's probably a couple years away, right? Which works out good, you know, assuming that Van Buren stays for a couple more years, you know. You know, Camargo's a guy that probably needs a red shirt, probably get a little bit stronger. He's already a big kid. You know, kind of get him, work on the mechanics a little bit. But watching him whip that ball around in pregame, it's impressive, man. I mean, you talk about spinning the football. I can only begin to imagine what he's going to look like after a year or two of college coaching. And, you know, and there's a reason Georgia and Texas A&M, you know, two of the teams that are competing for the playoff, have now all of a sudden got to Camargo Taylor. Says a lot about our ability to evaluate quarterbacks. And I think as long as Jeff Levy is here, you're going to have a lot of that. You're going to have a lot of people chasing quarterbacks that Jeff Levy identifies. We had it with Mullen. We had it with Mike Leach. You're going to have it with Levy too, a guy that's kind of a quarterback whisperer. He's going to identify guys, and people are going to be like, hey, that guy's pretty good. And Camargo, it's not like he's far on the radar. I mean, he went to Elite 11, you know, but he's a dude. He's an absolute dude and the centerpiece of our class. But, again, I've got no reason today to feel like that we're headed for a departure from him in our class. I know some people are kind of bracing themselves, holding their breath. But based on everything that I've heard and everything that I've seen in the last 72 hours, I think that come signing day, you know exactly where he's going to be, and that's going to be Mississippi State. If you haven't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com. You can order signed copies of The Dude. As I mentioned earlier, they're out there, several bookstores now. If your bookstore doesn't have it, tell them to order it. And if you don't want to deal with that, if you don't want to worry about buying through your local bookstore, you can order online at dutydumblebook.com. All of my sports titles are there too. In addition to When the Bottom Falls, we've had a kind of a resurgence with sales there too. And come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. It's my wife's business, and things have been going good. But don't forget about us when you begin to think about gift cards. You've got a lot of friends that say, I've always wanted to try that. Give them the incentive and buy the gift card. You can call 662-268-7601, and you can speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana, or you can find us on social media at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville or Instagram. And if you need more information, visit truerest.com. Let's get out of here. I'll do my best to get you guys an earlier show on Wednesday. And but hey, thanks so much for your support. I love you guys. And all the great things that I want for myself and my family, I want them for your family too. I want them for you. I'm the kind of guy, I want us all to win, right? I don't need you to lose to make me feel better about winning. I want all of us to win and have a great time with our families and be able to provide for them and make some dreams come true. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.